Well, it's after 7 o'clock. That means it's time to text in to win. It's our Ride into Spring statewide contest with Civic Media. Your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway. These are really nice. And grand prizes that include a bike, a blender, and a patio love seat. Here's the word you want to text in right now. What you need to do is download that Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose WISS or WGBW this morning and then text this word. The word is trip, T-R-I-P. That's this morning's word, trip. Get that in, text in to win for your chance to win the Chula Vista and the grand prize as well. And listen in today around 10 o'clock for your next shot to play along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair On Air. This hour's word is trip. Text it in and get set to win with Civic Media and WGBW and WISS. Once again, here's your host, John Mino.
The keyword is trip.
Right? Very there was always nice. A bell after
yes,
that.
Yes, there was.
I got to say this, and our guest is on the line, but Jimmy Fallon brought back Password. Have you seen this version of Password that's on NBC right now?
I have not.
So I have to say this because I'm a big game show fan. The worst rendition of a classic game show ever. I just think he ruins the whole gameplay. It's not fun. He tries to make everything funny. So I think you and I...
We could do it.
We could be the Mark Goodman, Bill Todman of game shows right now.
I think we could do it. I want to do our own game show.
Okay.
I want to do it. I'm not even kidding about that.
I would love to. I love game shows.
Me too. I want that so bad. You and me doing a game show.
All right.
Okay.
We'll get that worked out.
Work it out.
Maybe Mark could be a guest on it. He could play along.
We'll see. This will be a little test run right now.
I have to tell you, he called in right at 7 o'clock, and I said, well, we got about 6 minutes. And I said, so you can either call back or you can whatever. He said, I'll call back. I have to find my slippers.
True story.
Mark, good morning. And first of all, congratulations on your little radio gig here of Rational Revolution. Tell me a little bit about that, brother.
Well, it's a show that was not started by myself. It was started by a dear friend, Chris Alfheim, and it really centers around the idea of it's not left versus right, it's right versus wrong, and we kind of have really frank and honest conversations about the state of politics in our state and our country. We focus on how to kind of sift through the noise, how to arm yourself, with true facts when you have conversations with people. And it's more centered around, a kitchen table discussion versus what you see on talking points on TV or hear it from a blowhard on the radio. Not from me, but, some other guy. Yeah.
What got you so interested in this?
Well, I mean, I was in politics. I was interested in politics as a kid. And
Really? As a kid?
It was like in high school. A friend of my dad's ran for county board, and I was a big sports guy. And so, when politics, the election night would happen, you would see kind of it was covered like a sporting event. I mean, it still is. It's basically it's the sport of ideas, and right. And so, that really got me into the theatrics of it all. And then, to kind of see behind the veil of, what it takes to run a campaign and, how to navigate the ins and outs of this. I worked on campaigns, including Jim Schmidt's, many of his.
He was 10-0, he was 10-0.
What's that?
He was 10-0.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just ask me, he'll tell you. Yeah.
He's got that tattooed on his neck.
That's right. And I would tell him the same thing. I would say, you're welcome. Because I helped him on a lot. And he would say the same thing. He's a wonderful guy. And I learned a lot from him. I hope he learned some stuff from me too. I ran, worked my way up to it, being the chairman of the Republican Party. And then a guy came along and kind of, in my opinion, trashed the whole place and is still trying to do that. So I left the party, and I'm kind of out in the middle.
Has there ever been a tougher time to be involved? It's almost like we're talking about college basketball right now. It's the worst time ever to be a mid-major basketball coach. Is this one of the toughest times ever to be involved neck deep, in politics?
That's such a good question. I don't know if it's if it's the most important time.
Okay, good answer. Yeah.
You know, because on one side, I mean, there's problems on both sides. There are. But on one side, you know, when they center their movement based on things like not having honest discussions with their supporters or, you know, the American people or like the court system, it truly is a clear and present danger to the future of the country. Having discussions that like this, that are based around, you know, just unvarnished truth, it's never been more important since, you know, Civil War era. I mean, seriously, it's very important.
Does that make it frustrating? Does that make it scary? Or does that make it almost exciting in some ways? Because there's so many different things going on all at once.
Yes. I mean, like all the way around. It's frustrating because, you know, when you have, my aunt, you know, she said at Christmas time, well, did you know there's a difference between the President of the United States and the Commander in Chief? You know, and it's like, there's not, like, objectively there is, that is the same person, but it's that QAnon type, like, conspiracy theory thing. And so, like, it is incredibly frustrating to try to talk to people who once, to use the buzzword, were rational and had their beliefs based in rationality and now are just so far gone. And so to try to get through to those people is really, really frustrating. But it is exciting because it's like, okay, the conversations and the things that you're trying to do, they can truthfully change the world. And then you look in Wisconsin here, you know, with our new electoral maps, this is the first time in 12, 14 years that the Wisconsin people, the people of this state, will have their voices heard and represented truthfully in the state Senate and the state assembly with maps that truly represent the makeup of the state of Wisconsin. So that is exciting as well.
Mark, what does it take to get into politics these days? I don't think I'd have tough enough skin. what kind of a person does it take? And Jim is always trying to recruit people. Todd, you can back me up on this.
Absolutely. And I think the difference is, and we were talking about this actually before the show, like how did Jim get into politics, all that kind of stuff. It was a different day and age. Now you enter the ring and anything that may have happened in your past ever is going to come to light, right? You're going to have to put up with that. I mean, why would somebody decide to actually run?
There's my answer.
Yeah, I mean, I ran for county board, and it was a local elected office, and, you know, it was against a guy that was pretty well entrenched. I did that because, when I was out of high school, I wanted to join the military, and I took the ASVAB. I passed it. I did well, and I was moving along the line to join the Army. But I have a life-threatening allergy to peanuts, and so I couldn't do that. And I couldn't join the military, and so that was a heartbreaking thing. So the purpose for that is because I wanted to give back. I wanted to serve my country. I have a deep sense of service that is a core value for me. So that's why I wanted to get involved in politics. And I kind of was like, well, I'll put up with whatever the rest comes, as long as I am able to give back. And I did. There are some people that that run because they want to be a celebrity. There's some people that run because, you know, they think it looks cool. So I think the important thing is, you know, you want people like a Reed Ribble, who's a frequent guest on the show, who are running for that pure reason of, I just want to do good. I had a good career. I had a great life. Now is my turn to give back to society. And those are, you know, the best people that you can support.
What have you found in dealing with politicians? Is there some common thread Mark, and you said there's different reasons for people to get into it. But again, I think it'd be tough. My brother was in politics. I had two brothers that were in politics, as a matter of fact. And, you know, when you see that up close and your younger brother, the slings and the arrows and the things you have to deal with, what type of a person does it really take to thrive and stay with it?
Yeah, I mean, it toughens you without a doubt, you know. And the weird thing is, it doesn't, you know, someone can say what they want about me and whatever. They're an idiot. You know, I can just let it go, but it affects the people around me more.
Yeah.
You
that's know, what I mean.
My wife will take it personally. My family will take it personally. If someone attacks me, especially saying stuff that's not true or whatever, they will feel that more than I will. And so it takes someone who is really, mindful of the feelings of your family, because you won't, you'll just be mad. You'll flick them the bird and you'll move on. But you have to really have a very grounded sense of connection to the people that you love the most, because those are going to be the people that are affected by it.
I had the wife of a politician very recently tell me, she reads every text, she reads every negative comment, and it affects her. And
yeah.
I mean, people don't see that side of it with the family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, tell me a little bit more about when your show's on, Mark, and who your guests are and what you want to get going here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's cool because we had radio legend Charlie Sykes on. Mm. That was my first guest. He was patient zero. Nice. We then had the mayor of Menasha was on last week. We're going to have a state assemblywoman, Lee Snodgrass, this week. So we really want to talk to local figures, national figures. The cool thing about, you know, me being in the show, I can brag a little bit, is that I've done this for so long and I've done it at a high level. I know a lot of people. So we can really bring some national figures to our show. We're going to have someone, not this week, but next week, who should be a household name, because he was the person that was deeply involved in the Trump campaign and was responsible for a lot of the leaks that came out of the campaign in 2020. That's going to be a fascinating talk with him. And no one's ever talked to him before. So this is the first. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us when your show is on, Mark. We're just hitting the break here. When are you on?
Oh, we got Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, I think on 20 stations across the state.
Phenomenal. Best of luck with that, Mark. Welcome to the family here, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet. I'll be tuning in. Thanks a lot. Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution here on Civic Media on WGBW. Tune in to listen to him. Big stuff coming up. Sandra Rank, Gary Gresh, the folks from Heights Pub. A lot of stuff. Was this requested?
Yes, it was.
All right. Request Tuesday. Back after this.
The shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe.
Going out from Mary this morning.
Love
and
it.
And it keeps it out of sight.
Somebody actually gave the Tuesday show, the bumper music request Tuesday.
Yeah.
They said, just call it BMRT.
BMRT.
Yeah, bumper music request Tuesday.
Okay, BMRT it is.
There you go.
There was some bar that used to play this. Does anybody remember? There was a bar that used to play this at closing time every night.
Mary, Mary, who texted this in, said, shout out to my days as a student at St. Norbert College.
Okay.
Fill the jukebox with quarters at the Abbey Bar every night at 10:30. All Mac the Knife.
That has to be what it is.
Was it?
I want to say it was DePere. The Abbey, the old Abbey, though, I think we're talking,
this is
right?
Way back.
This is the old Abbey, which was a cool place. I used to do a radio show there every Friday. It was called Burgers and Bloodies for Breakfast. And
ooh, I like that name.
And it was good. Me and Vinny would do it. And that was a cool old place. I remember when they knocked it down or tore it down or took the stuff out and everything. But yeah, you can get like a beer for a buck. And they had these big, huge burgers. And it was great. I loved that place, the old Abbey. And I'll tell you what, if those walls could talk with the former Packers that used to go through there, on a regular basis.
Again, a lot of that stuff couldn't happen these days because of cell phones and all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. Not even a question about it. Can you imagine? But you know what's funny? I keep seeing this picture pop up on Facebook or whatever of Vince Lombardi sitting at some little diner in Green Bay by himself eating breakfast.
Yep.
Again, nowadays, hey, can I get a selfie? Hey, can I get a selfie?
Right.
Yeah, it'd be incredible. You could never, Matt LaFleur can't do that. Can't go down to the Blackstone and eat breakfast.
No. Somebody must have had the chutzpah to take that picture while he was having breakfast.
Can you imagine? The same thing.
Unless it was planned a little bit or whatever, but man.
Yes. But it didn't look real planned. I mean, he was drinking his coffee and he was halfway through the breakfast and everything. And I thought the same thing. But yeah, these people and the real big time, the real celebrities, I can't imagine what some of them go through these days trying to be out in public. I mean, really, it's terrible.
I mean, I take my dog out during the day.
Yeah.
And if I've gone home from here, sometimes I'll be honest, I'll put my pajamas on.
No.
So I work from home in my pajamas.
Okay.
And so I take my dog out, right?
Okay. Wait.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I haven't worn pajamas.
Oh, come on.
Like, listen. It was the summer of 1969. I broke my arm. I was in the hospital. My uncle Nacho and Auntie Sylvia bought me a pair of yellow pajamas to stay in the hospital with. That's the last time I wore pajamas. I was 12.
So,
are you wearing real pajamas like Rob Petrie would wear on the?
No.
Okay. Are you talking sweats or shorts?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not want.
You know, you've never seen those flannel pants that you can buy. And
oh yeah, I've got some.
Hang around the house.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, then that's fine. Because I was thinking you were talking about
underoos.
You know, and I did not want that image.
Yeah.
In my head of you walking around in because it's like, well, there's times I might be talking to him, and he's wearing that. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, you put on a sweatshirt.
Baggy. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I live in sweats and shorts.
My dog out and somebody's out there taking pictures. Come on.
I just wish you would have said in your sweats or instead of your pajamas.
I didn't mean to scare you like that.
Well, it's just, you know what I mean? Who wears pajamas? Nobody. Do they even still make pajamas for guys?
Absolutely.
Like the real set of pajamas.
I think so.
Top matches
and bottom.
The bottom.
Yep, I believe so.
I bet we don't have a single listener that wears pajamas.
Maybe they don't wear them, but I bet they make them.
Do we have any listeners or do your husbands or whomever, do they wear the full regalia of pajamas?
Text coming in right now.
I think I'm going to win this one.
This is Dave Roller was a hit at the Abbey, so that's something
Dave
else.
Dave Roller. Yeah, I remember Dave Roller. Yeah, he was something else.
All right, here's one. Jim from Menasha says, yes, I have pajamas.
The full set. Thing. The matching set.
Do you wear them to bed or do you just wear it before bed? That's the other thing.
What do you wear once you're in bed?
Yeah, you know.
You know what I've never done?
What?
Slept naked.
Never?
Never.
Okay, why is that?
Because I always think if somebody breaks
what
in.
What if there's a fire?
Same type of thing. Because I always think, what if somebody breaks in? I don't want to be fighting somebody. True story. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep naked. I'm not even kidding about that.
And the world heaves a collective sigh of relief.
Yes, it does.
I don't think it's very comfortable to do that either.
No, I don't get that. Yeah. But, you know, another thing is when I was a kid, we always slept in long underwear. That was the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in the UP, you wear long underwear pretty much from November till about right now. You wore long underwear to school every day, and then you would scratch and itch all day long. Yes.
I remember about the time that because we lived a little bit south of here in West Bend, Jackson area. I grew up and then moved to just south of Oshkosh. But even then, we wore long underwear. And I remember making sure that the pants that my mom bought for school that year were big enough to have the long underwear under them.
Yep.
Around that time of year.
Yep.
Because if you even grew a little bit.
Yep. They showed.
Yep.
Yep. I'm with you. Do they even still make, do kids wear those? Kids don't wear anything anymore like that. You know, I don't know. Everything is like that spandex now, though, which I think is a lot better. I remember when guys, you know what, guys in the NFL, this would have been about late 70s, guys in cold weather would wear pantyhose.
Because
they would wear pantyhose. Because they hadn't invented the cold weather gear yet with the spandex and everything like that.
Right.
So they would wear pantyhose under their uniforms. That is no lie.
Is that why Joe Namath did the pantyhose commercial?
Maybe.
I remember that growing up.
I remember that growing up, too. Remember they had the pan up of his legs and it looked like some, you know, oh, boy. And then it's Joe Namath. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, by the way, have you seen him recently?
No, I haven't.
Ooh.
Not good?
Ooh.
What's wrong?
I think he's got the Steven Tyler effect.
Looking like a woman?
Yeah. Not looking good.
I'm going to pull up a picture.
I got this text here, but wearing long underwear in the UP. We wore long underwear in the UP the entire school year. Took them off on the last day of school. Tears.
You know, I think what happens is guys in the media, and the first thing that comes to mind here is obviously he's dyeing his hair.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be very careful with that as you get older, because sometimes when you do that, it's very obvious that you're dying.
Well, remember when Rudy Giuliani at like it melted on
and that running down his face.
That was a tough day for him.
that poor guy.
That was a tough day. Yeah. You know, he's one of those guys. I think it's time to just, you know, go to your condo, go someplace and just stay as just low and out of sight as possible. Don't you?
When 9/11 happened, I don't know that there was anybody I respected more than
Absolutely.
That man. I mean, he really helped that city come together.
Hosted Saturday Night Live.
Unbelievable.
Yep. He was the best. And now it's just weird. Just turned weird. Well, I guess we all turned weird at a certain point in our life. But Joe, yeah, I mean, Joe was such a good-looking guy. I mean, that was my hero. Joe Namath, that was my guy. That was my idol, like you can't believe. That's why I wore number 12.
I feel like he would look better if he didn't dye his hair.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you know what? He's almost lost too much. You know, when you get older, if you lose too much weight, you look old. Thank you, Sandra.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to worry about
Sandra
that.
Sandra just walks in. Old! She's not beating around the bush. Old!
Yeah, you start to look harsh.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you look gaunt.
Hard.
Yes.
You look angry.
Yes. I don't look that yet, do I?
You need a little fluff.
I still got a lot of fluff.
Yeah, you need a little fluff.
I got a little fluff. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about that I saw on the internet lately about real estate.
Oh, okay, I have a lot to talk about, too, about politics.
Oh, okay.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, boy.
Let's bring
it. Look out. Sarah Rank is in the house, and everybody knows it. Back after this.
Now, inside the house with Sandra Rank of the Sandra Rank Real Estate Collective with Keller Williams.
Hey, welcome back. Mine are the mayor, of course, down in Mexico for the week. Sandra Rank joining us. Hey, Sandra.
Good morning.
How are you?
Super fantastic. Awesome.
Excellent. You came in with a yarn
coming
admission.
In hot.
Coming in hot. Coming in hot. I love that. But first, I saw something on the internet I had to read to you, okay?
All right, let's go.
A New York City homeowner was arrested for attempting to evict squatters from her property. WABC TV reported that Adele Andalero inherited her family's home in the Flushing section of Queens and was in the process of selling it when she discovered two male squatters moved into the home in February, changed the front door and locks, and refused to leave. She called the police, who interviewed the squatters and asked for residency documents. Under New York law, police arrived shortly after, started interviewing the men, the neighbors, and asking for documents. Under New York law, squatters have tenancy rights if they've been in a residence for 30 days or more. When the squatters did not provide their paperwork, the police escorted them off the property. Okay. Andello called a locksmith to change the lock, but police warned her against doing this. New York law prevents a property owner from changing locks, turning off utilities, or removing belongings of people who claim to be tenants. Less than 10 minutes after the police left and the locks were changed, a man who claimed to be leasing the house showed up with the squatters. They pushed through the front door. The police showed up again and told Andolio she had to go to court to have the intruders removed. Andolio was arrested for changing locks, which was considered by the police to be an unlawful eviction.
Okay, so squatters are a really interesting category of people.
Wow.
Every state is different. I'm wondering if every municipality is different. But like right now in Florida, here's the squatter situation.
Okay.
In Florida, you are considered a tenant if you receive a piece of mail. So these people find these vacant properties. They move in. They get a piece of mail.
They could send it to themselves.
And this is what they do. This is the thing. Right now, the going rate in Florida is 10 grand. You pay me 10 grand and I'll leave. Otherwise,
so
I'm taking your court. Yep.
Wow.
That is a legit business model.
Unbelievable.
Right. So even people like here, like when you buy a house in a sheriff's sale here in Brown County.
Right.
So what happens when you buy the house, they get 6 more weeks to buy the house back out of bankruptcy. Okay. So once that six week period comes and goes, they get another 6 weeks to remove their items out of the house. And if
you're talking about the original owners who lost the house.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Right. So it's a really long process to go through bank or to lose your house. But it's really challenging because you have to get the police, the sheriff's department involved, actually.
Right.
Has to come in to remove them, et cetera. It's really can get really sticky if the tenant is interesting.
If they don't want to leave.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
But isn't that how if you own a property, how is it possibly illegal for you to change the locks?
It is perplexing, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
But you don't have that problem around here that you've seen?
I have not heard that problem around here.
Me neither.
I have not heard that at all. And I hear a lot. So I don't know of that. What I hear more of is people not leaving after a bankruptcy. Or
people that own the house?
Right, correct.
Okay. But another thing I saw one time is this lady, you know, tried to evict these people. And the sheriff said, gave them like 24 hours to be out. Well, they just destroyed the house in that 24 hours.
Yes, that happens too. I'm not going to talk about some of those stories, but it's disgusting what they will do sometimes.
I know. I've had people tell me about other realtors tell me too. Same type of
blows
thing.
Blows your mind. Like, who even thinks like that?
Yeah. And people that you'd think would be normal people did some really crazy things.
I think
things.
When you have situations like that, there's usually addiction, mental illness. Something's not right.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you to be in that situation sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's your four.
Okay. So one of the things when I have a
buckle up, people. Sandra Ring
I would
is
like
in
to talk
house.
About some real estate stuff, but on the way over when I was listening to you talk to Mark, I got super duper fired up. And I was like, we need to talk about this. So politics.
Okay.
I feel like when you said who wants to run anymore?
Yeah.
I think it's really, really important that people do run. And here, especially local politics, because local politics has more to do with your day-to-day life.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree.
The national politics do. And here's what I notice. And again, I don't really care what party you are, honestly. I feel like most Americans, 90% of the people I know are centrists. They're in the middle.
Yeah.
Like most people that you would encounter during the day are like, could be somewhat Republican, could be somewhat Democrat. Like they're really centrist. Who's running for office and who the parties support are the fringe extremists. So the problem with that is the fringe extremists are making some really interesting policy right now. And they're setting the tone for society. And I feel like if we let that happen, then you live with consequences. And when I'm starting to hear, and I care a lot about our city and I care a lot about politics and I really have a lot of respect for the people that run in politics. And when I hear especially younger people saying, why even vote? It doesn't even matter anymore.
I know.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does
Big
matter.
Time.
Right.
I
so
agree.
Even though we might not like the current political climate, not voting is a vote. So you need to exercise your right to vote. You need to get to know your politicians. And you know what? Hold their feet to the fire. Ask them the hard questions. I think people would be really surprised at how little interaction, true interaction, not hate mail, that people get, that politicians receive from people. I mean, in the last 2 years, you know, I've met with a lot of politicians. I haven't had one person say, no, I'm not going to meet with you. They've all met with me. So I feel like we have these opportunities and we need to take them because if we don't, then you live with the consequences.
Okay, can I get back to the squatter thing one quick second? That was very good. But I just got a text I want to read to you.
Okay.
Just got this from our buddy, Scott. He said, John, here you talk about squatters and you guys didn't have any instances here in the area. There's a current situation across from something where the city tore down a small commercial building. There's a squatter with a travel trailer. Small lean-to for a car and a truck on an empty lot. He took a 400-foot extension cord, plugged it into his mother's apartment building next door for electricity. It took them months to get an eviction notices, and when the police officer showed up, the guy still wouldn't come out. of the travel trailer. So now they're unsure what they're going to do.
John, where are you living right now?
Because downtown.
That does sound like something I would do.
It sounds just like you.
It sounds exactly like something I would
do. Hey, Todd, you got a long extension cord?
Todd, do you need that extension cord right there? What are you doing with that cooler? Do you need that? You need that? I need it for my place. Wow. Oh my God. It does happen around here.
Yeah, well.
It seems like the police hands are tied.
Well, I think there's certain rules,
right? Yeah,
and these days, you got to check all the boxes before you do whatever. So.
Okay, another one thing for you. Okay.
Yes.
See, I do my homework now for you.
I like that.
Okay. Here's the headline.
Yes.
As mortgage rates rise, fresh real estate listings hit a near three-year high. Mortgage rates rose this week following much anticipated news by the Federal Reserve this week, Wednesday, to hold its benchmark. The average rate for a 30-year fixed home loan inched up from 6.74 to 6.87 for the week ending March 21st, according to Freddie Mac. But after decreasing for a couple of weeks, mortgage rates are once again the upswing, Freddie Mac's chief economist said in a statement. Despite these elevated rates, homeowners are displaying renewed confidence in the housing market, focusing on the fact there is a good amount of pent-up demand and ongoing supply shortage and expectations that Federal Reserve will cut the rates this year. So even though the rates are going up and everybody thought, well, everybody's going to... It's just the opposite. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I think with the rate thing, nobody knows what's going to happen.
No.
I mean, nobody.
I mean, that's like betting on the stock market or something.
Because they were talking, like, by now they'd be in the high fives, low sixes.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're probably going to be in the sixes. Hopefully they come back down to the lower fives eventually. Not lower fives, higher fives, lower sixes. But I think what's really happening is people are getting, this is the new normal. And
yeah,
people are calibrating, right? I mean, unless we have a geopolitical situation or something horrible happens, we're not going back to those interest rates. That was a tiny flash of time, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think
it was a wonderful time.
Well, and if you were able to capitalize on it, absolutely. But that's over.
I know.
And I think life goes on. People want to get on with their life. They want to move. They actually need a bigger house. They have a growing family.
And I think they've waited long enough for them to come and say, okay, you know what? We either bleep or...
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And we'll look, like, 10 years from now, we might look back and say, wow, super affordable then.
Told you when I was coming out of college, or 14% the interest rate was. 14%.
Yeah. Well, in the 80s, I think in the 70s and 80s, they were in like almost like that 17, 18%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, right now it is what it is. And I think people are just recalibrating. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah. But it says here, even with that mortgage rate, new listings across the country are up 17.8%.
We're not up that high. I haven't done the end of March calculations yet because it's not the end of March. But I don't see a ton of inventory right now. But I do see things sitting a little bit longer.
I've noticed that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too. And it seems like some of the bigger ones are sitting. I noticed one out here on Webster. That's one of the type of house I would love. One of those houses probably built 100 years ago, but somebody had a lot of, like a banker or something.
Yes.
I would love one of those houses. Those seem to be sitting a little bit. What? You gave me a little look.
Well, those are
money pits?
They're just always a work in progress.
That's what I mean. Okay.
Right? So you have to embrace that.
Are they really?
Yeah. So old historical homeowners, that's just, they don't mind that, right?
Okay.
So
yeah, because it's part of the allure.
That's part of the charm. You just... Yeah. But you can't replicate that stuff, right?
Right.
So that one house has been sitting for a little bit.
Yeah.
But the one on the corner went right away.
Yeah, I know.
The blue one. So.
Yeah. What is the type of house? If you were a builder and you're going to build some spec houses.
I do that.
What? Oh, I didn't know you did that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you did that.
Yes, I do.
I did not know this.
I just closed on one yesterday. It's beautiful.
Well, why don't you build me one and do this?
Well, so what we're building are, how can I say this? Like, they're like empty nester condos, but they're freestanding.
Okay.
So they're two
bedrooms. In Green Bay?
Actually in Ledgeview.
Okay.
We're building, there's six of them. We just closed on one, so now we're building the next one, just one at a time. But they're great. They're on Ledgeview Road, and they're about, the top floor is about 2,400 square feet. They're two bedrooms, phenomenal floor plan. And we built it so that you could, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
The next stop would be the nursing home, but it looks amazing. You would never know that.
Wow.
So you have a zero entry garage. You have wide enough hallways. I mean, just it looks, and the floor plan's great and the location's beautiful. So yeah, I do that. So what's your question?
Wow. She is smart.
I mean, it's just, it's
I'm
like,
serious.
I'm like here with my mouth. I
all these weeks we've been talking about like the older population getting out of their homes so they can be sold.
Yes.
She's making way for that to kind of happen.
She's making it happen.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's just been around a while, so I've just watched and observed, and I built what I would want. And so, like, the amenities are really beautiful. It's not cheap. It's nice.
Can I ask the price point?
Yeah, this one was sold for $675.
Okay.
So not like
do you have any other half like that price?
You got an no. extension cord for him?
Have my beat up little Jeep out there and okay, but you know for
three star garage.
Oh, wow.
I mean
that's for Ledgeview. That's the going rate.
Well, and I think if you want that, that's what that costs.
Yeah, yeah. But what do you think as far as like if you're what you've seen in? Well, I mean, actually, maybe this would be a better question for Amy Jo, your buyer's agent. What are they seeing that people are really looking for at times? And I mentioned this to Amy Jo too, because when I worked as a buyer's agent, you know, you think you know. And then people want to see a certain house, and in your mind, you're like, this could be a waste of a day because I know they're not going to like it. And then all of a sudden, for some weird reason, we love it. Yep. You know what I mean?
We always say buyers say they want A, and then they buy Z.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So I would say there's a couple, like, I always think backwards from resale, right? Like, everything I look at, I think work backwards from resale. So generally speaking, people like four bedrooms. Generally speaking, people like neutral decors. Generally speaking, people now really like four bedrooms plus an office. Remember back in the day when you had a living room and a dining room?
Yeah.
So dining rooms, some people like them, some people don't.
You don't see many houses built with them anymore.
No, you don't.
When you go through the showcase.
Right. So I feel like pantries are another one. People love those big walk-in pantries.
Those have changed over the years, too,
haven't
they?
The size has.
Well, I remember when we built ours in Ledgeview in 2006, and it was like, you know, in the corner type thing with the glass door, and it's like state of the art. Now,
it's like another room.
They're walk-in things. Yeah.
You know, they can be like 6x10.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're big, and they have sinks in them.
Yeah.
They have ovens. People like double ovens. People like a very large island. People like space between the island and the kitchen, the other counter, so you can have two people maneuvering in the kitchen. Lots of light, a lot of big windows.
So those things people are looking for.
Yes.
Okay. I remember back when it was, maybe it is still super crazy, when I was in the business and you know, you're getting those 15 offers or something. And I remember selling a couple of houses and the guy was, well, I got to replace this door. I got to paint this. I'm like, I wouldn't worry too much about that right now. What is your suggestion? Should we do that when we come back?
Okay.
What is your suggestion if somebody's thinking about selling this summer, this spring or whatever like that, and it's like, that window's a little bit something. Should I replace that? I want your opinion on those kind of things because those are like, you know, things that people kind of grapple with.
Yes.
You know? Okay, we got to set a quick break. Sandra Rank in the house. Back after. Who requested this?
Bill.
Bill. Whole new you.
Gino Vannelli at 7:50 in the morning with Mino and the mayor. The mayor's still on vacation. In with John Mino right now is Sandra Rank on Mino and the Mayor.
I'm feeling kind of something.
Yeah.
What's up, my children?
Venus Flytrap. Is that what his name
was
on? Yeah.
Or the ladies, man. Have a little glass of Cabassier.
That's an easing into the evening tune.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that is Venus Flytrap music right there. From WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever work with anybody like him?
No.
Me either. A lot of Johnny Fevers, though.
Everyone was a Johnny Fever.
Kind of.
Lots of them. And, like, none of them are still alive. They had interesting lives. Yes. What else going on in the business in the area here, Sandra?
Well, you asked me a question.
Yes.
Go ahead. You were going to sell.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're going to sell your house this spring, here's what number one. Get an agent in there because there are things you should do and there are things you should not do.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to use a house we have right now. So they were like, what do we need to do? So in this particular house, the carpet is like literally electric green, electric blue, Ooh. And electric yellow.
Okay.
Now, there's hardwood underneath those carpets. So now in this really fast moving environment, because this house will sell like in a snap.
Right.
But this house will sell in a snap with probably, I don't know, 10 offers. But if you remove the carpet, refinish the floors, clean it, you're probably going to get 20 offers. Oh. So there is work you can do, but it's the balance of knowing what is the work you should do. Like, for instance, if you have a really old, like lighting is a big deal, right?
Okay.
And you can update your lighting pretty cost effectively.
Yeah.
So having like, and those things really impact people. How, like, and when I say clean here, are the areas you really need to concentrate on. Your front door.
Okay.
Like people are standing by the front door. Make sure it's clean. Windows. I mean, dirty windows really affect how the house feels. In the house, super clean. Your bathrooms, your kitchens, your whole house should be clean. But really focus on those. Another really odd thing to pay attention to, light switch plate covers. Because you know why? Buyers touch those. Because they automatically go to shut off a light. It's just like it's a reflex.
Okay.
And you'd be surprised at how grungy they get. Clean that.
Never would have thought of that. Okay.
Clean that. Faucet updates. Like make sure, like, or like you're caulking. Like there's just certain things that affect cleanliness and how people feel. If you, a garage door, like make sure it's clean. They get so dirty, but those are things that people touch. So there are things you can do cost effectively that really enhance your value without breaking the bank.
Those are good tips. Those are really good tips.
And even right now. So, I mean, just because you don't have to do something and it's going to sell, but you know what? Doing them makes you a lot more money.
Well, and not only that, but it also just gives the people a sense of what they're moving. They want to move into a place where, even if they don't know the people, and I'm sure they don't 99% of the time, they have this sense of, oh, they were cool people. They were good. You know what I'm saying?
It's a vibe, right?
It's energy. It's a vibe. That's a good word.
Of course. And people like to move into properties that were cared for.
The one thing I'm surprised at, in all the things that I was surprised how much people allowed their pets to damage houses.
The average dollar amount of damage a pet does per house is about $10,000. That's the national estimate. Right. But I don't think you can control, well, I guess to some degree you can, but their nails.
I know. That's the thing on doors, scratching it out of doors. And the
floors.
Yeah.
It's the floors. And they just smell. Pets have a smell.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But the people, a lot of times, the owners don't smell it.
Well, plus like their kid, right?
That's what I mean.
Even if they did smell, they don't care.
Right.
So what it's, as a pet owner, not a bad idea to get your ducts clean every 5 years or so. That helps a lot with odors. Always run your furnace fan. I would say 8 out of 10 people have their furnace fan on auto. Put your furnace fan on. It recirculates the air and it really helps with odors.
Nice. I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
But you know, Dennis here, who comes in on Fridays, he has, I think it's rental properties or something he was doing, and couldn't believe it was almost like biohazard from their cat. You know, they must have let him just...
Well, cats in particular.
In the rugs type of thing.
And that, if that's the situation, you have to rip the carpet up and do kills. And, I mean, there are things you need to do if you have that.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a small fix. I mean, that's get pets, rid of the carpet, get rid of the thing, get rid of the smell, paint the walls. Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing like the whole...
I just want to ask you, I swear sometimes I've been in houses and the walls smell. Is that true or is that just my imagination?
Well, it's a porous. Yeah, it can. It's porous.
Okay.
It's plaster.
Okay.
Especially if like you cook certain types of food.
Yeah, but it's in the wall, right?
Yeah, so that's why you paint.
Okay.
You put primer on it and you paint.
That kilns primer is the one that kills all the stuff, right?
There are primers that block and smells.
Right. Okay.
Now you interrupted me. I was going somewhere with that.
Sorry, go ahead. I always do that.
That's okay. Darn it. Okay, it's gone.
All right.
But anyway, so there's absolutely
You're talking about the furnace recycling the air, and that's why I brought it up about the cat smells.
But when you talked about smells, smell is one of the things that has a super powerful effect on people.
No question.
So another thing that people do that I'm like, ooh, don't do that. They have these odor things plugged in all over. Don't do that. Because it's like, what are you trying to cover up? And that's number one. But number two, super carcinogenic. It's really bad for your health to smell that stuff.
Seriously?
Yes. So do not, if you're selling your house, do not try to cover up smells. The best smell of a house is clean. The best.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. You know, another thing that I know sometimes people would overlook, and I thought, would be their like fireplaces. Like you could tell the glass part hasn't been touched in 20 years.
Tricky to take apart. That's
I
why.
Know. I know.
Tricky
they,
to take
but
apart.
Those
but worth it.
Stand out, don't they?
Yeah, worth it.
Because if you got that, you got this nice living room, and you get that where it's all grungy, the glass type things, it's like,
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. Those are a pain in the butt to deal with.
And then also, like, if you have, like, in your windows, if you have fogged panes, just replace the fog pane. They're not expensive to do that. So don't not do that, because people will look at that and think all the windows are bad.
Yeah.
So just take the time. You know, do some homework before you list your house. Do those repairs. It makes such a difference.
And I would give this advice. If you have any snakes in the area, kill them. Get rid of them.
Snakes in the house?
No. Outside. I had that at mine when I was selling it. And there are two of them that popped up out of the blue, two garter snakes. I tore them apart with a shovel like you can't believe.
Okay. I have not encountered a snake infestation yet.
Never?
But I know someone that did.
Okay.
But it was like TV level infestation.
It was like what level?
Like horror level TV.
Where was it?
It was in the Denmark area.
Really?
The snakes infested the the foundation.
Well, if they had stone foundations, that really have a lot.
God, I can't even think about it without cringing.
Right. Sandra Rank, thank you for being here. It's been so much fun having you. It's unbelievable.
I'm always happy to be here. You know I adore you. And
great.
Jim.
Thank you very much. And Todd.
Yeah. Oh, and Todd. Todd's a new friend, right?
Okay.
Todd's a new friend.
Yeah, okay. That just got uncomfortable. Back after this. It turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby. I don't know. Isn't it amazing a man like me can feel this way? Tell me how much longer it will grow stronger every day. Long before I met you, now I'm sure that I won't forget you. And I thank my lucky stars that you are who you are, and not just another.